In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The month of the dead. Sounds a little scary, doesn't it? It'd be a great title for a horror movie. The month of the dead. But traditionally, November is known as the month of the dead. And we as Catholics aren't afraid of the dead, because the dead are some of our best friends. The holy souls in heaven, the saints, and the poor souls who are in purgatory on their way to heaven. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we're not afraid at all of them. And the reason why we call November the month of the dead is because in a very particular way we recognize those who have gone before us, and we pray for them during this month. We begin the month with November 1st, which is the Solemnity of All Saints. And the following day, we have the Commemoration of All Souls, where we pray in a particular way for all those who have died. And then we continue to pray for them. And not just during November, but all throughout the year. We as Catholics pray for the dead. In fact, it's one of the essential things that we do. It's one of the spiritual works of mercy to pray for the dead. And if that were not enough to call this the month of the dead, the scripture readings also, during this time as we're wrapping up the church's liturgical year, we turn to the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And if that were not enough, we here at St. James are in the middle of a funeral spurt. Over the last few months, we've had a lot of funerals. And a lot of them are people who are very important, active members of this parish. And so I think it would do well for us to reflect upon what we as Catholics believe about death and how we put our beliefs into practice. Reflecting on our beliefs about death is not something new. St. Paul did that in our second reading today when he's writing to the church in Thessalonica. Some people in the church of Thessalonica got the idea that if you died, you were somehow not a favored Christian. That only those who lived up until the Lord's return in glory were approved by God. Now, you got to understand that the people back then thought the Lord was coming soon. And by soon, they meant that year, maybe the next year, maybe a few years, but really, really soon. They didn't quite grasp what our Lord meant when he said, "You will know neither the day nor the hour." That it might be 5 minutes from now, or 5 years, or 500 years, or 5,000 years. He'll come when he comes. But anyway, St. Paul said, don't worry about that. Because when the Lord returns, those who are dead will be called forth from their graves. And those who have died in Christ, along with the believers that are still alive, will be taken up into the air to meet Christ as he descends from heaven. This is where our Protestant friends get their mistaken opinion about the rapture. They think for the rapture, what's going to happen is before the tribulations, all the really good people will be taken up into heaven so they won't have to suffer. Well, that's not in sacred scripture. Sacred scripture says that those who are blessed are those who endured the suffering. And it is when the Lord returns that the dead and the living will be taken up to meet Christ in the air. Did you notice that St. Paul didn't call them the dead? He called them, said, those who are asleep. Why would he do that? Well, usually when we think of people as dead, and the pagans did, that was over. There was nothing left. You were gone. But that's not what we believe about death. We believe death is kind of like going asleep, because you'll wake up. When you go to sleep, you wake up. We as Christians believe when you're dead, you will be brought forth from the grave. Now, that doesn't mean that we cease having consciousness when we die, because you don't cease having consciousness when you go asleep either.
Dreams, people?
We're still there. We don't cease to exist. But we do die. Anyone here think they're not going to die? No, we're all going to die. It's something we can all look forward to, and we do look forward to it. Because when we die, we go to meet the Lord Jesus. When we die, we leave our body behind. And so it's something different. And when we die, we are judged by the Lord Jesus. At that moment of death, the time of repentance and of mercy ceases. Up until the moment of death, you can turn your life around for good or ill. You might be the very best person in the entire world, and then you fall into sin. And if you die in that state of sin, you're going to hell. You could be the worst person in the world and finally accept God's grace and repent of your sins, and you're going to heaven after a long time in purgatory. But you're going to heaven, because we will be judged by the Lord when we die. And the judgment is based upon whether we are in friendship with God or not. If you die in friendship with God, you're going to go to heaven. You may go directly there. Or if, like I think is going to be the case with most of us who have still some attachments to sin, we go to purgatory where we're cleaned up, and then we go to heaven. And those poor souls who die outside of God's friendship, they go to hell. And while we await the resurrection, those who are in hell, they're enduring eternal torment. But those in heaven are praising God and praying for the church here on earth, and awaiting the day of judgment. Because at the final judgment, all of the dead will be called forth from their graves. The just to the resurrection of the just, the damned to the resurrection of eternal punishment. And the sheep will be separated from the goats. Repeat after me. Baa. You want to be with the sheep. You want to be with the Lord Jesus. And the dead who are in heaven or in purgatory are still our brothers and sisters. The dead in heaven pray for us. The dead in purgatory pray for us, but we pray for them still. We are all one in the body of Christ, which is the church, which is far more than just the people here on earth. And that is what we believe. And this is why when a brother or sister in Christ dies, whether they're a family member or a friend or someone we really don't know at all, we as Christians offer up public prayer for them. You know, as Christians, you know, how do we pray for the dead? Well, usually the day before the funeral, we gather together, sometimes at the funeral home. I prefer to have the viewing and the rosary here in the church, because this is where we publicly pray. And we pray for the dead. Maybe we say the rosary. Maybe we use the vigil service. Sometimes people speak in honor of the dead. You have to tell the truth, though. You can't just say everything's all sunshine and puppies. And really, we should do just a little bit of that, if at all, because praying for the dead is more important. You know, we don't, as Catholics, do eulogies. Because, to paraphrase Mark Twain, there are lies, damn lies, and eulogies. You know, it's very different. Our Catholic funerals are very different than some other people's funerals, because they do what they call celebrations of life, where you get together and you tell all sorts of lies about what a super person the person who died was. And they may be really good, but they're probably not that perfect. And I think celebrations of life are some of the saddest things in the world, because that stuff is over. What we as Catholics do instead is we remember the good things that God did for the person while they're here on earth. We remember that they are in the hands of God, who loved them enough to suffer and die for them now. And we look forward with hope to a bright, shining future with the resurrection. You know, none of us know whether a person's, how they're going to be judged, but we have hope. We have hope that they will be with God forever. And that is what our funerals express. That's why we say the very best prayer possible for the people who died, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Now, I've had people come to me and say, well, you know, my Uncle Ernie, he hasn't been to church for a long time. Can he still have a funeral Mass? Of course he can. Funeral Mass is not a reward for being perfect. It's not an instant canonization. We're praying for the person. And probably Uncle Ernie needs the prayer more than the person who went to daily Mass. Though we never know. And so we pray for the person who died, and we take comfort in the promises of the Lord Jesus. And then we take the remains of the person to the cemetery, and we bury them with honor. You know, it's best to bury the body intact. It's not saying you can't, you know, do organ donation, which is a really great and wonderful thing to do. You can even donate your body to science, though if you're thinking of doing that, talk to me and I'll tell you about the arrangements you need to make so that when they're done with the body, it's treated with respect. You know, that is the very best way to bury the body. But we also allow these days cremation, as long as the ashes are buried, not left on the mantelpiece, not put in a cannon and shot out over the fields, not dumped in the haunted house ride at Disneyland. Yes, that's a thing to do. They have to, just about every day, they have to remove ashes that people have scattered in the haunted house ride at Disneyland. I kid you not. And that, you think that's bad? Now it is a thing to make jewelry out of part of the ashes. Don't do that. Because the human body, it was a temple of the Holy Spirit, and it needs to be treated with reverence and respect. And when we think about death, we perhaps should think about preparing for our deaths as individuals. You know, particularly if you have non-Catholic children or people who are going to be taking care of the arrangements, you need to write out what you want done so that they know what your wishes are. But even more important than making those earthly preparations is being spiritually prepared for death. Does anyone know the day or the hour of their death? Praise be to God, no. Wouldn't that be the creepiest thing in the entire world to know exactly when you're going to die? To have it marked on your calendar to go, oh, 3 days left and then I'm toast. It'd be like a really scary Twilight Zone episode. No, we don't know the day or the hour. And so we need to be like the wise virgins in today's parable, where we always have our lamps lit. And we're always waiting for the Lord's return so that when he comes for us, when he calls us to himself in death, we are ready to meet him with great joy so that he will usher us into the banquet feast of the Lamb, which is heaven itself. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.